George W. Bush pronounced himself the winner of the presidential election on November 26th, shortly after his Florida campaign co-chair and Secretary of State Katherine Harris certified the Texas governor's victory by a slim 537-vote margin. But despite calls by the Bush campaign for a Gore concession, the 2000 election is headed to the Supreme Court for a ruling on the legitimacy of a deadline extension for inclusion of manually recounted ballots mandated by Florida's highest court. Refusing to throw in the towel, Vice President Al Gore is fighting a two-front war. Battling in the courts for a tally of all votes cast in several key Florida counties and working to shore up public support for what may be a protracted legal battle. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Bruce Shapiro, contributing editor with The Nation magazine, who examines the strategies of the Bush and Gore campaigns as they pursue victory in this year's extraordinary presidential election.
The core Republican strategy is to suppress the counting of votes. And this is a profoundly dangerous thing. And the ironic thing here is that actually, and I don't know why no one else is saying this, Bush and Gore seem to share the same presumption, and that presumption is that if we keep counting long enough, Gore will come up with the votes to win. Otherwise, why would you want to stop counting, right? So this is a fundamental thing, and I am not someone who has ever been a big fan of Al Gore. To the contrary, I think he's in many ways a dangerous man himself. But there is something separate from Gore that is at stake here, which is whether people who cast votes get to have them counted. And it's one thing to pursue this through various legal means, you know, to question whether the authority to extend a deadline is imposed or not. But when it's done across the board and when it includes members of congressional staffs, as today's Wall Street Journal reported, going down to Miami, passing themselves off as demonstrators, and really there to intimidate the vote, the counting of votes in Miami-Dade, this is quite anti-democratic and quite profound, and this is really what I think the Bush campaign has been about over the course of the last week. I think Bush has transformed the stakes in this count from a choice between contending mediocrities to a choice between do votes count or not.
Who do you think is winning this battle for public opinion? Because certainly both Bush and Gore are doing their best to maintain support, and many Democratic leaders, you know, are publicly or behind the scenes saying, well, there comes a time when you, Al Gore, you have to throw in the towel or else you're going to bring the party down. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's complicated. I think that people have a lot of understandable anxiety. They would like this to be over. But people also really have very high ideals for the election system and want a process that's fair and don't want to spend the next 4 years having to fight over whether the president we elected is really the president or not. We want to know that it was a definitive count. I'm not sure who's winning the battle for public opinion. I think that each side brings some big deficits to this. I think that Bush is tapping into a very angry and paranoid stream of American political life, and doing so knowingly, trying to stir a politics of resentment and rage when he says, you know, the court's overreached, when he says that they're mining for votes, which is not true. They're looking for votes that were cast, but they're not mining for votes that aren't there, right? There have been a series of very high emotion statements from the Bush campaign that are designed to stir resentment and anger. Gore, on the other hand, has been so set on playing the high road that he really has given up the political battle, in a way, to Bush. The most articulate spokespeople for the Democratic Party have been scarcely visible. You haven't seen a Ted Kennedy or Jesse Jackson out there organizing lots of, you know, silent marches on the Florida State Capitol or something. And that's a strategic decision on the Gore campaign's part. I'm not sure it's a wise one. I think it's because Gore thinks people will just respect him for doing the right thing, when in fact people need to have their own sense of what's at stake here ratified. And I would personally like to see a more activist response to this.
What are the precedents that are likely to be set here in this case of the 2000 election? I mean, what are some of your worst fears and highest hopes for where this brings us?
Hopes, I have very few hopes. There is not much good that's going to come out of this, except possibly a greater sense on the public's part of what is at stake in that basic act of voting. My greatest fear is twofold. I think, first of all, that the whole campaign on such narrow grounds between two such mediocre candidates, followed by a very angry month of recounting, will breed even greater cynicism in electoral politics and greater anger than now has existed. That's fear number one. Fear number two, which in some ways alarms me even more because it's introducing something new into the political process, is that the kind of conspiracy theories and politics of resentment, that resentment card which the Bush campaign is playing in the short run so effectively, really has the capacity to do tremendous damage to the little shreds that are left of American political discourse. I mean, in the 1950s, that politics of resentment gave us McCarthyism, and in earlier eras it gave us periods of great intolerance and polarization, and I think that we may yet reap the whirlwind over the next few years from the profoundly polarizing and resentful language that the Bush team has employed over the course of the last few days.
That was Bruce Shapiro, contributing editor with The Nation magazine. Contact The Nation at area code 212-209-5400 or visit their website at www.thenation.com.